That's okay. I mean, I understand. I haven't forgiven Rome for killing my people either, so it's all good.
Well, hey, apart from public safety, sanitation, wine, the roads, and peace, what have the Romans ever done for us? Architecture. That was another one. Oh, the aqueduct? Yeah. That list gets really long, and I can't remember it all.
Yeah, they stole most of that shit from other cultures, though.
Yeah, but they built it all for everyone.
I know, they're kind of like Blizzard.
It's like, sure, they stole most of their ideas, but they kind of gave them to everyone else. Really well executed.
They just, you know, kind of slaughtered the Celts because the Celts were like, no, we don't want to be part of your stinking empire.
Yeah, well, prior to that, the Celts spent a lot of time slaughtering each other.
There's that.
Because they didn't want to be part of each other's stinking tribes. Celts are just ornery, is what it comes down to.
As Seventh Circle learned today. She's very sheltered.
See, you have to understand that brothers and sisters are natural enemies. like English and Scots. Or Japanese and Scots.
Or Scots and Scots.
Damn those Scots. They're in Scotland. Hello, and welcome to I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside, a show that, as it gazes into the abyss goes, hey, that's a pretty cool podcast. Joining me tonight are a pair of ladies. How about you introduce yourselves?
I don't smell.
And?
I have a name, but I don't feel like telling people it.
And?
I got nothing.
Okay, well, my name is Becky, and it's true. I was born with two X chromosomes.
And I'm Scott. I'm not a girl on the internet. I don't know how this happened. Before we go into pick of the week, there's a couple of bits of business. We are accepting weird award categories for our end-of-the-year retrospective next episode. Anything, any category you feel like submitting, just leave it in the comments below. If you're one of those people who came here from the Dog Jacket website, I will post a link to our Cafe Press store where we now have dog t-shirts. If you want to contribute to Dirk's Penny Moon space program, email me at this web zone. We'll figure something out.
Why does Dirk have a space program?
Dirk wants to create a second moon out of pennies.
I worry for his soul some days. Suppose it could be useful. I mean, pennies are bullshit.
Pennies are bullshit.
Indeed. It's the only reason I like Dalton McGuinty, the Premier of Ontario. He wants to get rid of the penny.
What's hilarious is that there are people who want to keep the penny because it is part of our heritage. I am not shitting you. This is their exact argument.
So they can keep old pennies.
Yeah, but it's like, we don't have $1 bills anymore. Those are part of our heritage.
How about those $2 bills that we had for a while there, too?
How about shit splints? Anyone remember, like, 25-cent bills? Yeah.
You know, I was in the Netherlands shortly after they got rid of the penny, and oddly enough, nobody was crying in the street.
Australia hasn't had a penny in, like, a decade.
Yeah, same with the Netherlands, because I'm old, and I was there about a decade ago. Yeah.
Hay pennies? No one has hay pennies anymore.
So see, it's worth it. It's worth it to get rid of the penny. So much less change to carry.
Alright. Pennies, still bullshit. That was our weekly installment of the Penny Watch. Going into pick of the week.
Becky can go first.
Oh, are we doing pick of the week? I guess my pick of the week is Rift. It's an MMORPG that's doing some closed betas now and is launching on March 1st. Just played the closed beta, and it was probably one of the most polished MMORPG betas I've ever been in. The game's shaping up nicely. It's if you liked World of Warcraft and EverQuest but got tired of being in the same world, you'll love Rift. If you hate World of Warcraft and EverQuest, you won't like Rift, because it doesn't really depart from the formula a lot, but it's got a cool class system, kind of a cool event system, and it's pretty.
And how close would you say it is to Rifts, the Palladium game?
Not at all.
All right, good, because just to confirm how frivolous that lawsuit was.
It was originally called Heroes of Talara, because Talara is the name of the world, but I guess they decided that was too boring, so they just named it Rift in all caps.
Hey, must be working out for them.
Well, you do spend time closing rifts from other places that show up in nasty tentacled things, and things pour out of them and attack the cities, and everyone gets together, and you just press a button, and you're in a group immediately, and you go attack the rifts. That's one of the cooler things about it.
Woohoo, tentacles! Sorry, tentacle monsters. I guess my pick of the week is I read Alcatraz versus the Evil Librarians by Brandon Sanderson, which is his young adult series. I mean, he's mostly well known for his fantasy novels, the Mistborn series in particular.
No, he's actually most famous for doing the fans of Robert Jordan a favor by finishing that piece of junk for them.
You mean Wheel of Time, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't pay attention to Wheel of Time, so... Mistborn, good. Wheel of Time, I read the
Better
first...
Better now.
I fell asleep during it, and was kind of it.
It's a soap opera for men, that's how I heard it described.
No, that's pro wrestling.
Well, that too, but...
But
It's a soap opera for men who are too geeky to watch pro wrestling.
Works for me. But yeah, it's a really cute little book about a boy who pretty much tells people that writers are horrible people, you shouldn't like them, and oh my god, librarians want me dead. There's also talking dinosaurs, and a very popular word that appears in the book is rutabaga.
Rutabaga.
That's yeah.
What to say. Rutabaga.
But yeah, overall, really, really cute little book. I'm looking forward to reading the next one. I actually think I might secretly like this series more than Mistborn, but I need to read the rest of Mistborn before I make that judgment call.
All right, and my pick of the week is going fellow on the internet by the name of Movie Bob. I spent a lot of time prepping for this episode by watching a couple of his episodes, and he does a bunch of things. He does movie reviews on The Escapist, he does Game Over Thinker, he's got this little rant box thing he now has also on The Escapist. Like, the last few Game Over Thinkers have been pretty lame, but overall, he's cool.
And how exactly were you preparing by watching Movie Bob?
His Game Over Thinker episodes, Mario and the Sacred Feminine, Prawn, and that one about Fat Princess, and I Heart Bayonetta.
Bayonetta. Not sexist at all.
Nope.
In fact, men are just afraid of her. That's what I learned. I mean, she's so disproportioned looking. Well, she's just really freaking tall. And it's like, she could crush you like a bug, but you wouldn't care, because it's really hot. I love you, Bayonetta. I do, I love her. Marry her, because I think she'd scare the living crap out of me, but I like the whole idea of, oh my god, she's hairy, but it looks hot! I'm going to go hide in my corner now. But yes, there's far more other female characters in video games that are more offensive than Bayonetta. Let's put it that way.
Oh, have we started the main event?
We should introduce the main event. The main event is women in video games. They're shown, why we don't like it. Some of the women we do like.
So what's the best way to approach this? Do we talk about things we like and things we don't like? Or do we talk about, right off the bat, who we hate and why we hate the way that they are?
I think the hate's going to be the bulk of the episode. Let's just hit up a few that we like first, and then we will begin chugging our haterade.
Yippee!
Well, here's my basic thought on female characters in video games. Any video game that has, like, narrative of any sort. If you're going to have female characters in your video game that has narrative, you have two choices if you want her to be decent. One, hire an actual experienced published writer to write your narrative, or two, if you're going to have inexperienced slash amateur writers writing your narrative, just hire a woman to write the female character's narrative, because amateur writers are not necessarily very good at writing the opposite sex. This goes for men and women. That's just my basic thought.
I can agree with that. I mean, there's so many occasions where you see a lot of men trying to write certain female characters, and it's part of the reason why I don't like a lot of female characters, because in most cases they're going off of very basic stereotypes. Like, just to throw it out there, for example, I really, really hate Elena from Uncharted, because she's the, oh, I'm really curious, but I'm really just following Nathan Drake because he's really hot, and because I need my story. And it's like, that's so shallow.
No, she was just Lois Lane, but if Superman was an even bigger douche.
But again, she's written to be very shallow, and she's got no personality, and her personality is, I'm the plucky sidekick, and you know what?
Well, Nathan Drake has a personality of, I'm a douche, and Sully has a personality of, I'm a crotchety old guy. No one has a personality in that game.
So, I mean, if you look at, like, Naughty Dog's track record of everyone saying, oh, they tell great stories, I remember watching Scott playing Uncharted, and I was just kind of like, you know, I don't buy that, and I really want to punch this woman's lights out, because she's just very irritating. Because
To a certain extent, I think we do hold the video game industry to unrealistic standards sometimes. In some ways, they're ahead of Hollywood action flicks in terms of their portrayal of female characters or inclusion of female characters in anything at all. So I'm just being old and crotchety myself, I've definitely seen the industry improve a fair bit over the last 20 years, but there's a long ways to go. But there's also, you know, other entertainment industries who have just as far or further to go in their portrayal of women.
Yep. At least, you know what the video game industry is, and we always have to give them credit, they try. Is that they always are trying to make interesting women. The problem is that in most cases they don't really know what women are. And that's the thing I find problematic. It's not about, you know, who looks the hottest. It's give me someone with a little bit of brains and a little bit of some sort of entertainment value. I mean, I want my female character to be just as good as the male character.
Yeah. And I think the secret to that is really pretty simple, is to give your female character a problem to solve that isn't a man.
Absolutely.
That goes for all forms of entertainment. If you can give your female characters a problem to solve that doesn't involve a man, getting a man, having a man, getting married, whatever, then all of a sudden they become better characters. It's not that hard, but a lot of people seem to have trouble with that.
Or, you know what? Give me the female character saving the man. I like those plots, because they're role reversal, and you don't see it too often. And in most cases, it's sometimes done very, very well. Perfect example is Valkyrie Profile. Valkyrie Profile, you know, it came out on the PlayStation years ago, but the whole premise was this woman who gets brainwashed by Odin, and she pretty much is told, yeah, you're my puppet, but you don't know this. And then she meets a man along the way who happens to be her childhood sweetheart, but she doesn't remember this, but he does, and he gets kidnapped. And of course, as the game goes on, she starts to retain bits of her memory. And she realizes that, you know, this was the guy I was going to marry when I was a little kid. I need to go save him before Odin kills him. And it's actually done very well. Like, you actually sympathize with her cause, because she's being used, didn't realize she was being used, had her memories completely taken away, and then they're brought back through different events throughout the game. And you have the two characters reunited, and it's done in such a way where you feel their love story. It makes sense. And I'm very appreciative, because Lenneth is not like this crybaby bitchy character. She's very headstrong about what she desires and what she wants. So I like that. Like, if more characters were like that, I think I would be happier with the way video game characters are. At least the female ones.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they don't all have to be super strong, super feminist, etc. It's nice to have a variety of characters. And so, you know, I don't mind a game that has more traditional female characters when it also has, you know, other female characters as well. it's nice to have, you know, a diversity of characters of both genders.
Absolutely. One thing I love is the Atelier series. And the reason I love the Atelier series is because the girls in those series, they're really quirky and they're very fun. And they have some stereotyping about them. Like in the case of Rona, Rona's really clumsy. But she's got a sweet disposition that makes you kind of go, oh, she's so cute. Dippy, but cute. And I'm okay with that. Like, I love my really dippy characters. Not because, like, I think they're stupid, but because there's something very naive and innocent about them. Like, maybe that they don't understand the world around them. And I find that kind of endearing. It's like, oh, you're so cute, but you don't understand what's going on, do you?
Which is not always something that's approved of by feminist thinkers.
Not at all, but, you know.
But, you know, a lot of Japanese characters of both genders are like that. I think the Japanese game issue is interesting because, I mean, Japanese society is certainly not as liberating towards women as North American society on a general level. But they actually have a lot more diversity in terms of the female characters in their games. Sure, they have some really obnoxious female characters, but they also have some really good ones that we haven't seen the likes of in a lot of Western games. So I think it's interesting, the diversity of female characters that has come out of Japanese role-playing games in particular.
You can blame all that on Tezuka.
Osamu Tezuka, you mean?
Osamu Tezuka. So much of Japanese video game storytelling is derived from manga. And Tezuka was the first guy to write a manga with a female protagonist for girls, like Princess Knight, which is now actually licensed for release in the U.S. now. That only took 40 years!
Well, you know.
But Princess Knight is a classic, and Tezuka did a lot of things. He's kind of a cool guy. Cooler than Miyazaki. I said it.
I think the whole thing with Japan is that even though they really do segregate their genders a lot, at least with video games and manga and anime, they try to diversify as much as they can. And, I mean, if you look at, for an example, look at Platinum Games' Bayonetta. Bayonetta is a perfect example of taking a character that's overly sexualized, but people forget the character was created by a woman. And people, when they first hear that, they're kind of like, well, how is that possible? She looks like something that out of a man's, you know, wet dream. But, you know, when the designer created her, she wanted to create something that was very powerful but still feminine looking. And this is how we got that overly sexualized character. And yet, Bayonetta has a lot of very feminine qualities. She just also happens to be very cheeky and a little hardcore. And she almost comes across more like a Western character than a Japanese female character, which I kind of find interesting, despite, you know, she's a Japanese game character. But she really does share a lot more of the Western sort of traits that we see in female characters, especially just the fact that she's very crass and sassy. And you don't see that as much with the when you see them in the Japanese games, it's more done as like a tongue-in-cheek cute thing. But with Bayonetta, it's not tongue-in-cheek, nor is it cute. So I really, really like that, actually. I mean, I also like tongue-in-cheek and cute, but
It's something that I think confuses people who aren't familiar with women's issues on the internet, that, you know, there are a diversity of female characters designed by women, too. I mean, the scantily clad elf from EverQuest, Veronia V, I think, whatever her name was. Her designer was also a woman, and there are women who play, you know, role-playing games who like to dress their women really skimpy, and others who like to be really modest. And for some reason, this confuses a lot of people. How come you want modest clothes in your MMORPG when there's other chicks who like to dress skanky? It's like, well, maybe because we're not all the same! But, I don't know, it confuses some people.
Well, what I don't get is why everyone thinks everyone would want to be dressed as a really skanky character. Now, just, I do it on purpose, because for me, I like to be easily amused. So, the stupider looking outfit, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I did not do that to my Shepard in Mass Effect 2 when I had the perfect opportunity to put on her stupid coveralls, which looked really ugly. But it could have been worse. I mean, it was either skanky dress or coveralls. I'm going to go with the skanky dress because at least it looks, you know, proportional to her body than the brown coveralls that make her look kind of like a farmer in space, which I was not happy about. It's one of those things where it's like, BioWare, I love you. Learn to make hair and clothes nice.
Yeah, they're not so good at that.
Actually, what's sort of amusing is a while back they did the $2 Vanity Project DLC where you just got new costumes for a couple of characters. And then they opened up their forums to suggestions for other costumes for characters. And the two things people ask for more than anything are patch that hole in Legion, because apparently they're ridiculously OCD over there, and real armor for Samara and Ogre Face. What's her name? Miranda.
Ogre Face.
Really? Well, she's got Shrek's jawline.
No, the poor Miranda. I mean, as much as she's a perfect example of the type of female character I don't like, which is the very arrogant, self-centered, know-it-all type female, I don't particularly care for those characters. But one thing I feel bad for with in the case of Miranda is that she looked like she got hit by the bus really hard. Like, her face is just... I know they were trying to model it off of the actress who played her, but there's, like, this giant gap between her teeth. And then she's got this really weird jawline. Her cheekbones are really high. And it just... She looks like somebody hit her with a bus.
So and they failed to correctly model her after the very attractive actress who played her.
Yep. And it was kind of like, you know, as much as I don't like Miranda, she didn't deserve that. The fact of the matter is, even Jack, who most men actually will outright say is probably the ugliest female in the game, even Jack looked nicer than Miranda did.
Well, Jack actually has the prettiest face of anyone in of any of the females in the game. It's just that you don't notice that because you're too busy staring at the tattoos and lack of hair.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Jack is at least Jack looks soft. She has a very softness to her face, even though she's like, fuck this and fuck that. And that's all she pretty much says. Miranda just doesn't have any softness to her. And the sad part is her loyalty mission's all about exposing her vulnerable side. Right? So when you have these scenes where she's being very sad and subtle about her sister, it just looks really ugly when she's talking on screen. So her facial expressions don't translate to the type of emotion she's feeling. And it's like, oh, this just looks horrible. Especially because you want to feel bad for her.
But, well, it's a problem that BioWare and a lot of Western companies in particular seem to have. I don't know how much it was an issue in Mass Effect, but it certainly was an issue in Dragon Age Origins, is that they start with the male model as the basis and then basically staple gun boobs onto it to make the female models, if they bother to make female models of things at all. And I understand that there are, you know, economic constraints behind games, but there's, you know, certainly if they actually cared about representing female characters in a realistic way, you know, they could find a way to get the budget to have two genders of models, especially when you've got games with, you know, 5 billion different kinds of monsters or whatever, you know, just cut one of those and make a female model.
Well, I think that's the problem, is they spend so much time on monster design, they're like, oh yeah, women, go. From the looks of things, they seem to have fixed that for 2.
Yes, they in fact specifically stated that women have hips now, which is nice.
Yes.
Well, especially considering Liliana had no hips whatsoever. A few times.
On the other hand, there's also the other end of things where you can't create a woman who is a little bit more butch looking in a lot of games. So it's hard. I think what people want is the option when possible, but a lot of games, you know, you can't choose your model at all. But people would like the option or something in between rather than, you know, the crazy Paris Hilton looking character except with giant boobs, or one that looks like they staple gun boobs onto a male model.
Yeah, see, one nice thing about, especially with Mass Effect 2, is the fact that the women look proportional.
Mm-hmm.
So unlike Dragon Age, you know, they actually have nice hips. Their bodies are, you know, nicely proportioned. You can make them a little bit bigger. Not too big, which make them a little bit bigger.
I like body scalers you find, especially in a lot of MMOs, where, yeah, like, if you try to make a woman who's a little bit bigger, you can, like, make everything big except the waist, because they're all, like, super wasp-waisted no matter what. It's like, no, we will not have any women with tummies in this game!
Actually, it's kind of one thing why I like
how many fat
avatars.
Men you create.
Huh?
Well, flipping the coin here is how often can you create guys with a gut?
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is, a lot of those games that have body sliders, you can create a guy with a gut if you want to, because he's not trapped into being wasp wasted. But
I want to play Demon's Souls for the sole fact that there's a body slider, because when I was at Atlas a couple years back, we made a real stick woman. So when every time she turned, it looked like she didn't exist.
Nice.
On the body slider. And then we thought, well, let's see how much bigger we can make her. And so we made her really, really fat. But like the fattest you could go was, here's a mini gut. So it wasn't like you could make them really portly, which was kind of disappointing. It's like, I can make a really, really, you know, stickish woman, but I can't make someone who's nice and plump and got some nice tatas on top of the plumpness. Nope.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that, I mean, I'm definitely pretty equal opportunity on these things. It bugs me just as much when all the male characters are super hulked out too. And in fact, it bugs my husband a whole lot. He usually plays female characters because he's a skinny guy and he likes being a skinny guy. And he usually plays mages in games, and he hates it when, you know, he's making a character and the mage is like, "Hello, I'm Rambo." He's like, "Forget it, I'm going to make a female character."
Yeah,
Rip steak,
you know,
face, mage for hire.
Yes. And you know what the sad part though is? I mean, that's more of an issue with the Western games. In the Japanese games, it's the complete opposite. You don't really have butch-looking men. You have the stick skinny pretty boy,
and you can bring that ridiculousness to its logical conclusion when Japanese developers make men that they think will appeal to the Western audience.
Yeah, you get Nier, who's basically Conan, or Conan the Barbarian.
Not Conan the late night talk show host.
No.
No, my husband would play a male model character modeled after that Conan, but
not the other one.
Not Conan the Barbarian, no. He's not into that.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to see how the East and the West kind of have different perspectives of what they think each other likes. So when you see Japan trying really hard to appeal to Western gamers, like they'll make their really burly men and everything, that's like, aw, Japan's trying to do something different.
Well, I don't think Muscle March was made for America.
No, Muscle March was let's make a ridiculous game about muscle poses because people like to make those motions anyways.
Well, you know. Then there's Cho Aniki, which was also not made for North America.
No.
The ultimate gay space shooter? Yeah. Yeah. That sounds very special. There is a Cho Aniki RPG, but I can't really get into that because none of us have a Wonderswan color to play it.
No, it's funny because Japanese art likes to play with gender roles a lot more than ours does. And our developers are scared to death of, you know, little homophobes on the internet going, "You're gay!" It's like,
I know.
Why are you scared to death of little homophobes on the internet? They need their asses kicked.
See, you want to know what I'm excited for? In the new Artaneloco game, there is a butch man who dresses in woman's clothing. He's supposed to be a Ravetail. Like, he's supposed to be, like, a singer, too, because he wants to be just like them because they're so beautiful and they sing. So his whole plot point is, I want to sing nicely, too! And meanwhile, he's like, he looks like Nier and is wearing, like, a little purple dress.
In the meantime, the rest of Artaneloco is not exactly a blueprint for gender relations in games, but yeah.
No, but at least with Artaneloco, I'll give it the credit that it likes to poke fun at itself because of the gender issues. That's the big thing about that series is just, you know, here's all these really hot women, and they poke fun at their gender, how their bodies are built. Like, a lot of the sexual innuendo dialogue, It's just a lot of body bitching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your boobs are bigger than mine. Oh, yeah? Well, you know, you're skinny, and you look like you could be broken over my knee. Like, crap like that. And it's It's kind of hilarious, but kind of bad.
Which people, including Sex and the City, claim women have those discussions all the time. And I have never in my life had a discussion like that with another woman. So I don't know who these women are, but not me and the people I know.
Who knows? But, I mean, apparently sex is that important. Or at least Tata size is that important. I've had that discussion once, but that's because there's a friend of mine who I'm convinced is slightly bigger than me. And most women are not bigger than me.
Well, yeah, women talk about their boobs, but it's not usually in a, oh, your boobs are bigger than mine. Well, I'm sad now. I have little boobs. Like, it's more like, oh, look at these boobs, you know? It's not so much comparing. It's more usually bitching about the fact that they exist.
I bitch about my boobs existing all the time.
Actually, all Sam's A-cup friends have called dibs on anything left over if she ever gets a reduction. So I think there is some of that actual, yours are bigger than mine. I think that sentiment might exist in some.
Yeah, but it's usually not the focus of an entire conversation.
No.
Coming back around to women we like, I'll just weigh in. There's the usual list of, you know, Jade from Beyond Good and Evil is awesome. So's Alex Vance from The Half-Life. But one that I think gets overlooked in a lot of the top 10 list of female characters in games, Elaine Marley from Monkey Island.
She's awesome.
Well, just to set this up for the youngins who did not play text adventure or point-and-click adventure games, the first Monkey Island game, by the end of the first act, Elaine Marley, get your pseudo-girl love interest at that point, gets kidnapped by LeChuck, leaving your main character, Guybrush Threepwood, on a quest to rescue her. You get to the end of the game and find out that she's rescued, she's escaped, and also acquired the necessary MacGuffin to defeat the bad guy.
Also, she's the governor of the island.
Also, she's a governor. Princesses don't do shit. Governors get things done.
Yeah. Well, there's also on a similar note, there's a great quest in World of Warcraft in which you're attempting to get two sort of warring dwarven clans together through an arranged marriage between the only two eligible dwarves on either side, and the female dwarf in question gets kidnapped, and so you're going in with the male dwarf to try to rescue her, and when you get there, she's already killed. There's like this pile of dead ogres around her, and the male dwarf is like, "You killed them!" And she's like, "Yeah, they were getting a wee bit handsy, so I took care of them." And he's like, "What a woman!" I just think that's great. It's like, well, yeah!
Well, that's exactly how dwarf courtship would work.
Exactly.
And then they trade tips on beard maintenance.
Well, female dwarves don't actually have beards in World of Warcraft, but,
well,
you know.
Few games give dwarves, female dwarves beards. I think the last time that happened was, like, Discworld Noir.
Like, I love Elaine. I think she's fabulous. But, I mean, it's really hard for me sometimes to come up with really well-rounded female characters that I like. Mm. And I don't know why that is. I don't know why I have such a hard time when I play video games to enjoy the female cast. I don't know if it's because of the stereotyping. I don't know if it's because of the way the voice acting portrays them, because that sometimes also is a big issue. Mm-hmm. Depending on the type of voice the character has, really alters the type of personality that the character's trying to showcase.
Well, it's gotten much better in recent years in Western games since they've stopped hiring Saturday morning cartoon actors to voice the characters in the games.
All the work to Jennifer Hale.
Yeah, well, she's good.
Yeah, she's good at what she does.
Yeah, it's especially bad, I think, in voiceovers of Japanese games, because there's just a cultural difference in how women sound between Japan and North America. And when you have a North American voice actress trying to sound like a Japanese voice actress, it just doesn't work. So there's been a lot less of that, though. There's been a lot fewer Japanese characters that are like, "Hi, I'm so-and-so." I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, I still hate when those appeared, though. Oof.
Oh, they're terrible.
Like, funny enough, I'll bring back Valkyrie Profile a second. One thing that amused me about that particular game was the entire cast was voiced by the Pokemon cast. And it was surprisingly good. And they were also using their Pokemon voices for this game. Not going around saying, like, Pika Pika or anything, but, like, Lucy in the love interest was voiced by the man who does Brock. And that actual voice worked very well for the character of Lucian. Like, just the way you know, he would be reckless and all that kind of stuff. And funny enough, the woman who plays Officer Jenny is the voice of Lenith Valkyrie, which she doesn't use the Officer Jenny voice, thankfully, but she's got this very strong voice that emits a lot of passion when she talks. And well, again, yeah, it works for the character.
If you get cartoon actors who know how to play different characters, that's fine. But sometimes they hire cartoon actors who try to voice video games as though they were for, you know, 6-year-olds, and it just doesn't work.
You mean like Ken in Persona 3? Because he's voiced by a cartoon, a famous cartoon voice actor, Mona Marshall.
Well, at least the character's actually 11 years old. You know?
I know. At least it works in that regard. But she also voiced the gothic Lolita character in the game, Chidori. When she had a very weird voice, actually, I thought.
Yep.
Which I don't know if I liked it, actually, come to think of it. I liked her as a character. Now, there's a series where, you know, I can actually say I actually like the majority of women, Persona mm-hmm. 3 and 4.
Well, I like because they model them actually after, you know, actual teenage girls.
But and it's just, you know, but they have a lot of really great qualities about them. Like, as mm-hmm. much as I don't like Chie, for an example, I think Chie is a fantastic female character.
I love Chie.
I think she's got a lot of, you know, she's got a lot of spunk and a lot of tenacity, and she mm-hmm. she knows what she wants. And when you, you know, pair her with Yukiko, who is the very shy but wants to escape, you know, from a lifestyle where she's forced to be a manager of an inn that she doesn't even want. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have them paired together, it's like they give each other hope.
Well, the Persona women are examples of female characters who have a problem that's not a man. You know, they're all dealing with various different adolescent problems that aren't related to their boyfriends and their relationships and stuff.
Or the fact that elder gods keep coming after them at night.
Well, no, yeah. they have that problem, and they have normal teenage problems, too. You know.
But there's a lot of whiplash in Persona. Like, I think I summed it up really well with, it's like, the world's going to end in 2 months, but we have midterms in 2 weeks!
Honestly, that's kind of how it feels to be a teenager.
That world is very overwhelming.
I'm glad I'm not in it anymore, but I remember it. Everything always seemed much more important than it actually was, and that's part of being a teenager, and that's cool. And I think the game does a good job of sort of modeling that.
Well, how do you feel about Naoto, though, Becky? Because Naoto is kind of a weird case. She's a woman mm-hmm. trying to be a man, mm-hmm. and although her problems are not about a man, she still is struggling with the fact that she doesn't understand what gender she should really be a part of.
Well, she's got, you know, she has gender identity issues because she wants to be a detective, and in her society, detectives are men, and women just aren't detectives. So she's like, well, I'm going to try to be male so that I can be taken seriously and so I can do what I want to with my life. I mean, that's, you know, it's not something we see as often in the West, although there's still certainly jobs that are reserved for one gender or the other, and people are confused when they can't do it. I mean, she has her counterpart in Kanji, who's a male character who actually likes doing some traditionally female things and overcompensates by beating the crap out of people.
you gotta love Kanji.
That's typical for teenage boys, you know? They're not allowed to say that they like anything that's even remotely female, and so they overcompensate, you know? And I think Naoto's doing kind of the female version of that. It's a quieter thing, but it's like, I want to do stuff that's not, you know, that's not stuff I'm really supposed to like, so I'm going to kind of be, I'm going to try to dress like a boy.
My favorite line in Persona 4 is, there's a line that Kanji says, and it always makes me laugh, but it always gets me thinking. And he says, "Naoto, make me a man." And that's during the school festival. She's in the contest. Mm-hmm. She has to wear the bikini, and she refuses to come out. And he's like, "If you come out in the bikini, you will make me a man." Mm-hmm. And she kind of goes, "How will I do that?" And he goes, "Seriously, you will make me a man." And she's just completely, utterly confused by it. And then when they actually say, oh, you know, Naoto's supposed to come out in her bikini and she refuses, of course Kanji throws a little freak out, like, hey, she promised she'd do that for me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what is actually going on there in some ways? I mean, because with Kanji, I'm sorry, Kanji's gay. Like, I don't picture him being the type of boy who likes girls. However, the game is kind enough to say, well, you know, he really is just gender confused. He doesn't know what he likes. But the more you think about it and the more the way you see the game progress, I can't see him straight.
See, I think he could be, because it's something that straight guys who are not typically gendered go through. Am I gay or am I not gay? Because, again, when for teenagers, a lot of time being gay isn't not necessarily a sexual thing. When you're thinking about it, it's more a gender thing. And if you're not typically masculine or feminine, well, maybe you're gay. And so I don't know. I think that whether he's gay or not, he's going through something that a lot of teenagers go through in both Japan and Western culture.
I'm just appreciative, I guess, that maybe they included that for the two characters, especially because mm-hmm. there's something, like, you don't see that in Persona 3 at all. What you mm-hmm. do get instead is a class issue in Persona 3 with Mitsuru. So you have, like, a classism issue as opposed to, you know, a gender identity issue, which is still pretty mature, I think, mm-hmm. especially for the type of character that Mitsuru is, but it doesn't hold the same kind of impact, I think, the way, I guess, that Kanji and Naoto do.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, issues related to society and female characters. And like, counting mm-hmm. Kanji and the female characters, I feel like a horrible human being, but his story's almost identical in a way to Naoto's. And it's great that they're perfectly paired.
It's a gender story. So, you know, we can put that together. And, you know, bringing that back to the topic and to the West, I think that's really what the sort of thing that Western game designers need to start looking at when you're looking at making mature-themed games, is that it seems like whenever someone brings up a mature game, they're like, oh, we gotta have sex, and we gotta have drugs, and we gotta have people killing each other. And it's like, you know, a lot of gamers now are in their 30s and 40s. A lot of people who grew up as gamers are in their 30s, 40s now. And when we're thinking about a mature game, we're thinking maybe stuff that deals with issues that require a little bit more maturity to understand. So, sure, sex is one of those, but there's a lot of other issues that games could be looking at that they limit themselves to not looking at in their characters when they're creating their characters. That it would be nice if we had a little bit more of those. It would create more diverse characters by gender, you know, both male and female characters, as well as making, you know, more interesting games with more interesting stories.
Well, one game that I particularly like that I recently played that has, I think, a very good concept, but it unfortunately has very poor dialogue, is Heavy Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy Rain's issue is, you know, you have a father whose son is kidnapped, and the whole issue is this father wanting to protect his son because he accidentally allowed his first son to get hit by a car. You have this father who's psychologically struggling with, you know, trying to, you know, regain love from his other child, even though his other child already loves him. But of course, blaming himself for that whole issue, he can't see past that situation. So when his son's kidnapped, he does everything in his power to try to save his son. The mm-hmm. unfortunate thing about Heavy Rain is the female character they included. Madison really served no purpose for the game, and she's this journalist who, she's covering the story of the origami killer, and she's all like, yeah, I'm going to make a book, and it's going to be awesome. But Madison, on many occasions in the game, is like the potential rape victim.
Mm-hmm.
She never actually gets raped, but there's enough possibilities within the game that it's like, you really wanted to do this, David Cage. You really wanted her to get raped so we could just be, you know, outraged by it. Again, it's a mature idea, but the way it's played out is not, I didn't find it particularly very good. I think,
and it's also, the subject was not tackled in a mature manner.
No, it wasn't. And like with Madison, I mean, I think Ada said it best to me, which is Madison set the women's rights movement back, you know, 4 or 5 years, because she puts herself purposely in situations where she gets to be the victim of, you know, sexualized behavior. Like, there's a scene mm-hmm. where if she wanted to get information, she has to strip completely naked to get it. And it's like, you know what? Why should a character have to do that when, you know, it's to just get out of a situation? Yes, I'm going to use my sexuality to get out of a situation, but as a woman playing this game, I could think of other ways to get out of that situation. Taking See, my top is, off is not one of them.
This is why sandbox games can be cool. There's a character in The Elder Scrolls Morrowind. I don't know if he does this to both male and female characters. I suspect he does. He's a plot specific character that you need to have for the plot of the game up to a certain point, and you need to get something out of him, and he wants you to strip naked. So I'm like, I'm sure there may have been other possible solutions. I don't know. They weren't all that good by Morrowind and having multiple quest solutions. But so my character takes all of her clothes off, gets what she needs from him, puts them back on. He's no longer necessary to the plot. I can kill him now. So I stick a shiv in him. I felt better about the whole thing.
Yeah, see, I wasn't allowed to kill the guy that I had to strip for. I mean, when I first played Heavy Rain, I actually made it so Madison only stripped one article of clothing off. Uh-huh. That's how you get an achievement, is one like one layer of clothing, and I hit
that's
him with
so you
a...
will degrade your character for chivos, huh?
Hey, I got to hit him with a lamp afterwards.
Oh, okay, that's
but,
fine.
But Sam is a hoe for chivos.
I am a hoe for chivos sometimes.
Let's not let that go unresolved.
It's one of those, like, you know, Heavy Rain does give you the chance to change that particular situation, but your option pretty much is strip one article of clothing off and then hit him with a lamp, or strip all of it off and then hit him with the lamp. Not much of a difference, really, if you think about it. And truthfully, the thing I think that gets me is the fact that Madison isn't the one who gets to kill the guy. Mm-hmm. It would have been, I think, more interesting in the plot if she was the one who actually got to have the kind of final blow after she gets the information she needs. No, mm-hmm. Instead it's the FBI agent who comes in. He's all like, oh, hey, that guy that Madison was talking to, he's dead now because the origami killer came and killed him. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you don't see any of this, so... You just see the guy in the chair with a gun, you know, a bullet in his head. Interesting take in the story if Madison had actually done something more than just strip naked. Now, mind you, I mean, it was hilarious to do because the voice actress who plays Madison, she's atrocious. And just the way she's like, oh, I'll take this off for you. And it's like, oh, God. And just her dialogue is really trite. Like, there's one line that she says, it's like, it's a painkiller. It's to relieve the pain. And I'm thinking, how is this good writing? Like we know what a painkiller does. We don't need to explain it as something that relieves the pain. So she gets all the really stupid lines in the game, too. Uh-huh. Which is just really disappointing. Especially because, again, it's supposed to be an interactive story that you can change. Mm-hmm. But hers seem to be the parts that have the least amount of change that affects the story.
So she has the least amount of agency.
Yes. Which is, it's disappointing considering I think Heavy Rain has a really neat concept. Mm-hmm. So it's like you chose to include her, but you didn't give a good reason why you included her. So, I mean, the characters, like female characters should have some sense of agency.
Yeah.
For it to work. And we've talked about that, but I get more pissy, I guess, when, you know, the agency is, I'm here. And, oh no, I'm a sexualized victim. Mm-hmm. Like, give me a better reason to care.
Yeah.
Because in most cases, you put themselves in that situation.
Of course, one of my favorite incidences of women without agency in games is the especially 90s RPGs. There used to be the brothel in every fantasy town. There was always a brothel in town. And I always played female characters, I noticed that the brothel was also always composed of 100% straight women who would not do women, even if you offered them money. And some of them actually had that line. If you walked into them, oh no, I won't do women. I'm like, they're prostitutes.
They should do anything.
Well,
I think Fallout 2, the brothels would do anything.
Yeah, well, that was Fallout, which was different, but a lot of the fantasy RPGs, there was always a brothel, and all the brothel women were always adorable, and they were always straight. I'm like, okay, who came up with this one? It's really ridiculous.
Oh,
and then...
I liked the brothel in Dragon Age.
Yeah, the brothel in Dragon Age was a little bit more realistic in some ways, but not so much in others.
Well, it was also hilarious, because if you ever had any trouble getting with Zevran suddenly betraying you inevitably, you could just fix that by inviting him to the party.
He was happy.
I forget. But anyway, the Witcher came along with its more realistic description or depiction of what women in brothels would have looked like in that period, and nobody's done that brothel full of adorable straight women since, I don't think.
I still want to play that game. You really sold me on it.
Although The Witcher's an interesting example if you're talking about the portrayal of women in video games, and I'm a little torn about it.
Gotta catch them all.
Well, there was the thing where you got a card, a nudie card for every woman The Witcher had sex with, and that was kind of silly. And there was also the fact that the main female love interests were not written very well, especially not Triss, who in the books by The Witcher books, which I've read a couple of, is fairly headstrong and self-sufficient. In The Witcher game, if you choose to have her as your relationship interest, she's all like, oh, we should get married and settle down. It's like, oh, come on. But actually, most of the women in both the books and The Witcher game had full control of their own sexuality, and you know, The Witcher comes up and they're like, hey, he's hot. Hey, you want to go in the corner and have some fun? Like, you know, they're very much in control of their own sexuality and have a lot of agency in that area. And I think that's kind of cool. But the game designers themselves, I think, were not quite up to the level of maturity about sexual relationships to
well,
do
when
the
they give
justice.
You nudie cards, yes. When you're done.
Yes.
That's sort of an indicator.
Well, I don't think they really thought about it that way. Like, I've heard them in a couple of interviews about it, and I don't think they really thought about it that way as much as they were giving some sort of nice art. They wanted to sort of portray the scene without having, you know, an animation for every single one, which would have really kind of skirted the boundaries of various countries' ratings of things. And so they're like, oh, you know, we'll do this nice tasteful piece of art for Europe where boobies are not a big deal. You know, so some of them were tasteless, some of them were not so tasteful, or some of them were tasteful, some were not so. But, you know, they had a little piece of art, and then everyone's like, oh, it's sort of like Pokemon. But you also, in The Witcher, you never had to have sex with any of the female characters. So it was kind of up to how badly you wanted to behave, too.
Actually, complete tangent. Like, they make nudie playing cards. Why has no one done a nudie CCG? Tap that ass.
Because CCGs tend to sell to an age group that, people wouldn't like selling those things to.
It'll happen. Actually, wait. I might be wrong. I think there's actually a card game based on XXX Xenophile. I think there was. Well, I will clarify this in the show notes.
Well, anyway.
Research will be done.
So here's the interesting part on The Witcher 2. They've actually really sort of taken some of the criticism of the gender roles in The Witcher 1 to heart. And they have put in more sort of – they said they've put more effort into the relationships between Geralt and other women and made there be a little bit more of an emotional reason why they might get involved with each other. And there's no more booby cards, so there's going to be an animation for things. It seems like there won't be quite as many scenes. And so they do seem to be making an effort to make sort of the interpersonal relationships a little deeper. And what was interesting, there was a sort of a little controversy. I think it was Joystick, one of the writers, was writing about there was a trailer for The Witcher that was showing like the different ways that you can do quests. And there was a female prisoner who was being tortured and who was shirtless when Geralt found her. And the Joystick guy who reviewed it was like, you know, this scene really doesn't seem to be doing what they're really going for the emotional impact. They're trying to go for the idea that she was being tortured and this is bad. And Geralt saves her, but she's in typical Witcher fashion. Once she's saved, she's not like, oh, you're my hero. She's very much in control of her own self, which I think is kind of cool. But anyway, you know, her boobs were perfect and it looked more like it was sort of trying to titillate rather than what they were actually going for in the scene. And the dev team actually took that criticism to heart and said, yeah, no, that's not, we weren't going for titillation in that scene. So they changed it a little bit so that it wasn't, so it didn't seem like that's what they were going for. I thought that was kind of cool. But then when you read all the comments, people were like, stupid Americans, they can't handle any boobs. I hate, you know, that people are so immature and then they can't handle it, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, you know, they weren't trying to censor the game. They were saying this scene emotionally wasn't going for what they were actually – wasn't, you know, appearing to be what they were trying to go for in it. So they changed it. And the problem is people think that something's censorship when somebody you know, just because somebody changes something that's a little bit more mature in order to have more artistic integrity. Oh, you're censoring yourself. It's like, oh, come on. That was not a case of censorship, and there's going to be plenty of freaking boobies in The Witcher 2. You know?
Like I said, I got to play this game at some point. Mostly because, you know what? I mean, at least for what it's worth, I think it's impressive that the developer really does listen to those opinions and tries mm-hmm. to enforce them. I mean, because not a lot do. For an example, I mean, let's look at Final Fantasy 13, where the women are actually not too horrible, but mm-hmm. there's one in particular that really, really bothers me, which is Vanille. Like, you have opinions right now of people saying that she's the most brilliant character ever created, and then you have the other side going, are you sure? Are you stupid?
I'm in between, because having played through the game, I think what they were trying to go for, a girl who was originally really a happy, kind of happy-go-lucky person, who ends up doing something that she hates herself for, and covers up the fact that she hates herself by being excessively cheerful and exuberant. And then as the game goes on, it sort of breaks down, and she admits that she can't stand herself for what she's done. Final Fantasy XIII, the problem with it is their characters have really good premises, but they don't always, the character development doesn't always come out in the game as well as it could have. But I think that's what they were going for, in which case, you know, it is kind of cool character idea, and certainly much deeper than the usual over-exuberant teenage girls found in video games.
Are you saying Sylvie wasn't genius and well-developed? She liked trains, Becky. Trains.
Yeah, so does my dad. What's your point?
Selfie.
That's all I know about. I think that's Selfie's only unique personality trait compared to the usual high school Genki girl cliche. Yeah. Is that she likes trains.
I mean, I'm not as far as you are, but I'm finding that the way Vanille is portrayed, and I think it really does boil down in this case to the voice.
Yeah,
I find the voice makes it very inconsistent in how she's feeling, and I just, you know, I get irked when she talks because it's like, I'm sure there's something more to her, but the voice is not helping me appreciate whatever it is that is supposed to be there. But one thing I do like about that game in particular, I do like the fact that Lightning's character in particular, yes, Lightning, as far as I'm convinced, is secretly a man, but I don't care. Lightning, you know, is doing everything she can for her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that. I kind of like that she's not fighting for a man. She wants to protect her sister. She wants to bring her sister back. And, you know, as much as Snow's like, oh, I'm going to save her first and it'll be fine, you know, Lightning just kind of scoffs and goes, oh, yeah? Let's see you try.
I think Lightning is awesome that she's not traditionally feminine in very many ways at all.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the tough girl characters, especially in Japanese games, it's like, she's a tough girl, but deep underneath, she likes cute things. And I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah, you know? I know.
And I'm good with butch women. I think there should be a few more butch women in games. And I think Lightning's a great example of one who is, you know, she's just who she is. And she's someone I really sort of identified with her. I know some people hate the character, but I identified with her because she's a big sister who's sort of shouldered all the responsibilities of life onto herself. And I can understand that, being a big sister who was kind of the responsible one when I was growing up, too. So, you know, I think it's cool that the cool thing about that game is that there's a range of different female characters in it, which I think is pretty neat.
Yes. And then, you know, you've got someone like Fang who, you know, she almost looks very calm and collected most of the time. Like, you can tell there's something always on her mind, and she's got her own issues that she's trying to take care of. And that's just another, yes, Fang is really hot.
Yeah, Fang has the least character development of the characters in the cast, but she does, you know, represent something on that range of different personalities of female characters. You know, she's a lot more fiery and opinionated. She has a lot more emotional outbursts, so she and Lightning are both tough women, but they sort of express it in different ways, which I think is cool.
I just like that she's very calm and collected, the way she talks to Snow. Like, just the way it comes out so menacing, because, you know, he's a dumbass. And somebody has to politely tell him, stop being a dumbass. I mean, and we all know Snow, He never stops with the dumbass behavior. But it's almost like she had to be that mediating character for Snow. Because mm-hmm. if you think about it, Lightning wants to just kill Snow. If she had her way, Snow would go. Because she has no desire to deal with him. And Fang doesn't want to deal with him either. So rather than let Lightning have it, she probably would rather kill Snow faster than Lightning would.
Well, there is character development where they come more to terms with each other later in the game.
Okay.
You should probably get later further in the game before you really look at the characters, but
I know, but
yeah, Sam still hasn't gotten past the tutorial.
Actually, I've gotten
through
most.
Those 20 hours are rough.
You know what? I look at what I've read about the characters and stuff, and like I don't hate them, but what I have played. Right now, Vanille's a shining beacon of idiocy, and it's like, I know you will improve! Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really doesn't help that she does the stupid girly one that no actual woman has ever done.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate that to death when female characters in video games are like, I'm gonna run with my feet together and my arms up! I'm like, what the hell is that?
Yuna does that one frequently, too.
Yeah, it's a Japanese thing, pretty much.
I don't get that. I have never understood that, but a lot of the Final Fantasy women like to do that in particular. Tifa does it. Yuna does it.
People have modified freaking Elder Scrolls Oblivion to have female characters that run like that. I was like, why? Why?
Ew. No. That's awful. Like that.
Dear people of the internet, stop it.
That's the problem with the internet. You can tell them stop no matter how many times you want to, but it doesn't stop them.
I know, it's the internet, and now we're on it. Should we wrap up?
We should definitely get to a point where we need to wrap up. I mean, I guess what it boils down to, is. Pretty much, I agree with all your points. I just, I wish someone would listen to this and realize that there's better ways to model your female characters. You know what's a perfect example of a female character? Go look at the Suikoden games. There are so many awesome female characters in that series.
I knew we were going to get to Suikoden sooner or later.
Well, I have to bring it up because it's one of the few examples where majority of the female cast is actually very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of which game you're looking at. I mean, if you look at the fifth game, you have a queen. There's a queendom. The king is not important. And Arshtat's actually kind of cool.
Yep.
There's
a lot of different strong female characters in all the Suikoden games, and it's really cool. It would be nice if they had more playable female characters, too, but as in the main character being the female. But
well, we've only gotten one of those. Hopefully at some point we'll get more. I mean, and Chris, Chris is a kind of problematic character, but I still kind of love her.
Really? What do you think is... Oh, she has daddy issues. Well, yeah,
daddy
but...
issues. But, I mean, it's more of the fact that she has to give up a lot of herself to figure out her situation. And I feel kind of bad for her, especially because, she accidentally murders a child.
And I think what's cool about Chris is that she has the types of problems that are usually given to male characters in the game. Yeah. That, she's given up, a lot of her aspirations to be a knight, and she can't show weakness because she's the leader of her squad and stuff like that. And I think that's really cool that a female character gets that type of those types of problems. I think that's really neat.
I think that's really great, but, there's also the whole aspect of when she actually retains her femininity.
Mm-hmm.
When she leaves the castle, dons the new outfit, and, she wants to be treated more like a woman. And because you're a knight, can you blame her? She gets treated like a man half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And because she's, their silver maiden. And, I find it, interesting with Chris because even though Chris, yes, is trying to find herself and she's trying to understand her daddy issues, what I like is the fact that she never kind of loses sight of herself.
Mm-hmm.
She becomes afraid on many occasions, but she never entirely loses herself, which is one thing I really like about her. I don't like how the manga adapted her because in the manga they made her such a crybaby.
Yeah, I haven't read enough of that or remembered enough of
that. If you read that... the mangaka really changed a lot of the way Chris acts, mm-hmm. to a point where they made her almost so girly and so cutesy. And, like, she starts out the whole night, you know, awesome night and everything. Mm-hmm. And then somehow towards the end of it, she just becomes this big crybaby. And all she does is cry. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't remember her doing this in the game. I don't remember her being a crybaby. I remember her feeling guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not remember her being a crybaby. In fact, that's partially why people love Chris, is the fact that she is very, very human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing that doesn't make her any less a woman. So, I mean, and I've always appreciated that.
This conversation is funny because I think your idea of femininity and mine are a little bit different, too.
I know.
or what women are like, because mine's a lot more, mine's a lot less essentialist than yours, which is interesting. And I think that's something that does make it difficult for game developers to develop good female characters, is that we all do have different ideas of what a female character should be like.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with a female character who has very few quote unquote feminine qualities personally. But other women do want to see some of those. So,
well, I just,
it's difficult. And I think, as I've said, I think the answer is to have a range of different female characters, just like there are a range of different male characters in games, just to make women more diverse, and the characters will be more interesting, and people will hate some of them, and people will love some of them, and it'll be just like male characters.
But if only it was that way, Becky.
I know. And if I were in charge of the world, it would be.
I know. I just...
Maybe we should wrap up on that.
I think so.
Is Scott still with us?
This might be something we revisit in the future, or discuss something similar later on. Feel free to let us know in the comments. Until then, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside. Please don't agree on the comments license. Check out our website at sbopodcast.blogspot.com. Check us out on Twitter at sbopodcast, or our Facebook page at smell bad on the outside, or kick me an email at sbopodcast@gmail.com.